But you're all thinking, I want you to carry on with theme of extravagance. Yes? Yes? Yeah. But it's different this week. I've got a little clip, snippet of a word from Romans 4. Never got there last time, and Jean barged in and took over the service. And the Holy Spirit. Jean, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, barged in and took away and prevented me from doing this, which was good because the right words were given last week. It was a really word in season, but you know, although our body decays, our spirit is as young as it ever was. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just wanted to read just a few verses out of Romans 4, starting at, I think, verse 13. Read it yourselves at home to get the whole gist of what happened here. It says this: it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless. Because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I believe that word's going to speak into our hearts this morning. You may think that you're so old this morning, church. I know the age range has come down drastically with Caleb and Luke here this morning. We're perhaps down to sort of 51 now, rather than 62 as the average age. But praise God, like, you know, I mean, we've got a few younger people here, so, and then in the early days, the average age in this church was about 60, 61. You know, but we may feel that life has gone by and nothing upon nothing is going to be able to be done. That may be your perception. You know, but we have a bigger God than that. And this little story this morning that I've read there in Scripture about Abraham and about what God had promised into his life. You're only going to look back in the book of Genesis to see what God said to him. You see, Abraham did make some mistakes. He couldn't wait to have a son. And so he went another route for a son. I'm not going to go into that this morning. But, you know, this is where, you know, our world and our world main religions really just divided up. The fact is that because Abraham couldn't wait and slept with his servant because his wife said so, because that was the way he was going to have a son, because he wouldn't wait for God to perform what God was going to perform, and he jumped the gun, so Ishmael was born, and Ishmael became part of the Muslim nations of the world, which is where they rose. This is where we have the division of it all, and it was because of man's inability to wait for God's timing and trying to do things in our own strength. And there we have that happening. But bringing it right up here, back into here, into the book of Romans, and Paul talking about this really what was happening here And it's just amazing to just to see what's going on here. And the fact is that God could count him as righteous because of his faith, not because of the law. And the words we're saying, we're reading here, because it said here, as we just read there, and it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise of God. You see, this is when he had the promise. It was before Moses received the Ten Commandments. It was before the law was given. And so this is God speaking directly into a man's life, speaking directly into a woman's life. This is the promise of God given to this man Abraham. It was Moses that brought the law because the people wanted it that way. They wanted some rules to live by, and that's where it all seemed to go wrong. But here was God speaking to Abraham and promising him sons and daughters, as many as the sand on the seashore, as many as the stars in the heavens. And this is where we come to. And God counted him righteous, counted Abraham a righteous man because of his faith. It wasn't because of the law, it wasn't because of living by rules, it was because of living by what God had placed in his heart. And that's the difference this morning. And so often we can be a church that we say we live under grace, but so often we put the law in place and the law binds us. You see, without a law, and my reading of this here says, for those who depend on the law are heirs, faith is such as them. If we just believe in the law, if the law rules our life, then generation upon generation that we bear will just take on the law and take on the law to live, and the law will then give people the boundaries to live by, and they just, you know, and to live by the law, it's not living by faith, it's not living by anything or by the grace that God gives us. It's living within the boundaries of the law, you see. And if we don't know the law, then we have no understanding of boundaries. What I'm really trying to say so awkwardly this morning, but should be so simple, and yet we struggle with law and grace. But really what I'm trying to say this morning is, for instance, say you go out here and you drive home. There's not a sign on the road. There's not anything that says stop, slow, 30 mile an hour, 120 kilometres an hour, whatever it is. There's no signs. Okay? We drive, what we do. We're only aware of the law because that sign says 120, 100, stop, give way. And we see those signs, we say, we have a choice. Do we stay within the law or do we break the law? But you see, Abraham's promise from God was before the law. There wasn't a law as such. There was just that spiritual understanding. We spoke Wednesday night in our Bible study about, you know, we know when we are outside of what God wants us to do. We know when we're doing stuff that is not right in the sight of God. We know, and there's something within us. And it's not the law, it's the Holy Spirit's prompting. It's the fact is that Christ, through our giving our lives to him, has made us righteous. And it's that righteousness that says, hold on a second, hold on, be careful, just hold back a bit. When we want to just race on and do things, or just like break the law, but you know, we talked about it Wednesday night, and I really sense in my spirit that, you know, that we really know when we are outside of what God wants us to do. There's something within us. We don't need a law. We don't need to have it written down. You know, if you do not do this, you know, these are the consequences. See, Abraham was living outside of consequences. The Mosaic law that Moses brought, the Ten Commandments that he brought, then brought rules among the people. They must not do this, they must not do that. And I'm not speaking against the law. There's some wonderful things there. God, Jesus said when he came, I have come to fulfill the law. I'm fulfilling what was written down. But we can be so bound up on legalistic things that we forget about the grace that God has given us. And here's a man here, Abraham, who before the laws were laid down in Scripture, as it was through Moses, there was Abraham being promised by God children as many as the sand on the seashores and the stars in the sky. And what does he do, basically? But he tries to beat God. He tries to to do things in his own strength. You know, and people say to us things like, you know, we say to each other, husbands and wives and whatever, we can wind each other up about things. You know, you said God would do this, and you said God would do that, and he hasn't done this sort of thing. Like, and so we can put pressure on ourselves. And even as a church, we can put pressure on ourselves by thinking, we haven't seen this yet, we haven't seen that yet. And making pressure almost for things to happen. But if God has promised something, and this is my simple message this morning, if God has promised you something, he will keep that promise to you. Don't try and beat him. Don't try and do things your way. Don't try and manipulate things. Don't try and make it happen. Just allow the Spirit of God to operate in your life and to speak in your life and to take and do things in your life. See, it wasn't by the law. It wasn't by Abraham depending on the law that he was spoken of by God as being a righteous man. It was because of his faithfulness to what God had said. A calling for faithfulness. A calling to just stick close to the Father. Therefore the promise comes by faith, says verse 16. The promise comes by faith. What God has promised you, you may say, God's never promised me anything. I find it hard to understand when we become Christians, when we give our lives to the Lord, that we can actually say words like, God's never promised me anything. But if we look carefully at our lives and review where we've been and what we've come through and what we've done, I'm sure every one of us can find something that God said. Maybe somebody stood up here one Sunday and spoke a word, and that dwelt in your heart for weeks and weeks and months and perhaps even years. I know people that God has spoken to years ago when they were in their teenage years, and they're in their 50s and 60s now, and still that promise has not been fulfilled. But when God gives you a promise, when God gives you something in your heart, you know that it's that promise. And we have an ability sometimes as humans to try and force that promise to come, to make it come, to make it happen when we want it to happen. And God says, no, I'll do it when my time is, when the time is right. Because when it's in God's timing, it carries that blessing with it. It carries that Holy Spirit blessing with it. And we try and force things, and then we wonder why they don't happen. We wonder why it fails. We wonder why things just don't slot into place. You know, a lot of the times we find it's because we're trying to walk outside of where God wants us to be. So verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, by believing. What's God promised you? I encourage you today, hold on to that promise. And maybe years ago that God says that you would do this, that you would go on the mission field. You know, are you holding on to that promise? Maybe years ago that God says that I'm going to raise you up to be a teacher or whatever, an evangelist. Are you holding on to that promise? Are you saying today, come on Andrew, I'm 70 years of age. I tell you church, God has not finished with you until that promise has been fulfilled. If he's promised you something, he will bring about that promise in all of its glory. Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. That's what I'm trying to say this morning. If God's spoken a promise into your life, into your heart, it is a guaranteed thing. It is guaranteed. Don't be like Abraham. Don't try and book the train. Don't try and race ahead. Don't try and make it happen. But just allow the Spirit of God to do those things that God's laid on your heart. And it says there, to all of Abraham's offspring, this is guaranteed, not only to those who are the law, not only to the Pharisees, the Jews that are just believing in the law, but also to those who have faith, those, the Gentiles, who have come into a knowledge now of Christ. So whether or not, you know, wherever we're from, whether we're from one side or the other, it doesn't make any difference, but God's promise remains the same, that he will do the things that he's told us that he will do in his timing and not in our timing. says verse 17, that it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, to whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being the things that were not. Do you know God calls into being things that are not and were not in your life? If God's promise, as I said, is true, that he will call into being those things that are not in his time, in his timing. We often use this phrase, Lord, you know, bring, we call these things, we can, you know, we can call things into being that are not. In other words, we may have say that an unsaved member of our family, and we've been praying for them for years. And we're struggling, and we keep calling this thing, we call it calling this person to be saved, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when God has specifically given you a promise, when he has spoken something into your life, then you can truly stand on that word and call into being those things that are not, that are not yet. I know he's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with us as a couple. He's certainly not finished with this church. You know, I know the promises that God has given me in my heart, and I know the promises that have been spoken over this church over the last few years. You know, and so therefore, in faith, we can then stand, and we can believe, and we can call those things into being. Sometimes we call into being some things that God doesn't want to call into being. Sometimes we're asking God to do things that he doesn't want to do at this moment in time. And there are reasons for it. There's reasons for it. And we can't understand why answers are not coming. But we need to hold on to the things that God has specifically said. God has said he would bless this church. God said that he would do miracles in this church. There will be signs and wonders happening in this church. So we can call into being those things. They're not just men and women's whimsical thoughts and things. They are things that God has spoken over this church and over people. And I know God has spoken over many of your lives through a word of prophecy, for the things God has spoken into lives in this church. Are you still holding on to those words, or do you let them go because you've not seen them? If God has spoken into your life a word specifically, you need to start calling into being those things. You need to say, God, you promised me this. I'm standing on that promise. I'm waiting for that thing to be completed in my life. I'm waiting for it. And it's so important that we just don't let these things go. But sometimes there are things that maybe come in the realm of wants and not needs. And maybe we are wanting things and we're calling into being things that God has not promised, because it's not the time, it's not the right time. God wants to do perhaps something different. He wants to work in somebody's life a different way. And so maybe we need just to think about what we're praying and how we're praying things into being. But if God has given you a promise, don't let go of the promise. And start asking God, say, God, you promised me this. I'm waiting for the manifestation of this thing in my life. We are waiting for this in our church, Father. We're waiting to see the move of your Spirit like never before within the walls of this church, and we are believing for it. And not to just say, well, it has not happened yet. It's not going to happen. Perhaps it's not of God. There are some things that are yes and amen. God has spoken, and God will keep his promises. And here we have this story of Abraham, of how he was found faithful, righteous, not because of legalistic things, not because somebody said jump and he jumped, not because somebody said this, give your life to God, whatever. You know, this man had given his surrendered his life to God. He has gone God's way. He's believed and he's gone God's way. And if you're doing that this morning, I sort of say it's fantastic. I look at Caleb here and I just see a young man who's just fitting in to his life those things God has promised him, you know. And we call into being many things on behalf of Caleb, because we just know that that God's blessing this young man, and he's doing things in his life, and possibly Caleb will do many more things than any of us will do in 70 or 80 years of our lifetime, because God's hand is upon him and God has released this gift to his church. And it's just fantastic. And so when we see the gift, when we see the fruits of it happening, we stand and we say, yes, we believe in you, Father. We're seeing those things come to pass that were not, as if they were. We are seeing God's hand upon a life, and just holding that life to complete within him the work that God has started. and that's fantastic, and it's wonderful, and oh God, that we would all have that sort of passion in our hearts for what God has spoken to us. You know, I want you to go out of here this morning not thinking my life is over, but my life is just starting. My life is just starting in God. Maybe you've not done things. I challenge you this morning. Maybe you've not done the things that God has spoken into your heart to do. And you're holding back. You're saying, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too weary, it's too hot, it's too cold. You know, we can find all sorts of reasons not to do what God has called us to do. This story this morning is a challenge to everyone, no matter what age we are. God has not finished with us yet. Our bodies may be decaying, as Jean brought last week, but the spirit in us is the same as it was. It's a baby, almost like a baby thing, like it's like the spray I'll keep the flies off my arms and things like that. Baby Suave, whatever it is, eau de cologne or whatever it is. It has a fragrance and a freshness that apparently don't attract flies, but maybe we all have a fragrance and a freshness that attracts the Holy Spirit to move in us and to move through us and to actually propel us as a church forward into what God has for us. And here in this verse, he's our father Abraham, our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, and that was enough for Abraham. He believed in God. God said, you are a righteous man. You have obeyed, you know, what I've said. You have gone where I've said to go. And yes, you made perhaps a few mistakes along the road, but his heart was for God. And this part of this verse is absolutely fantastic. You know, true faith this morning, you might say, what is true faith? What is it? I believe true faith is complete confidence in God's promises. Having complete confidence in God's promises. Holding on to those things. Never letting those things go. Abraham, father to all who believe. He's physical father, spiritual father. To us, he's a spiritual father. I don't know the lineage of it, whatever, but if you could go on to MyHeritage or something and trace your steps back to Abraham, that would be fantastic. You know, people only tend to get back to the 12th, 13th century or whatever, but if you could trace it back through the line, what a fantastic thing. But, you know, he's God calling him father, father of nations, father of all sorts of things, father of those who love the law, father of those who have no understanding of the law. You see, if we don't know what 120 kilometres means, we do 160, however fast our car will go. We have no comprehension of it. And we're living under grace this morning. That doesn't mean to say you leave here and you forget all the signs on the road. But I just pray that God will just reveal to you that he has taken away. Jesus came, and when he spread his arms on Calvary's cross, he took away the need to live by rules, especially men's rules, because although Moses gave them 10 commandments, the Pharisees made many, many, many more commandments. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, thou shalt not do silly things, thou shalt not take a kernel of wheat and break it off a stalk on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath, things like that. And we can make up all sorts of laws, but this morning I just want you to get hold of this and take it out in your heart. You know, calling to being things that are not as if they were. What can you believe for this morning? Can you call some stuff into being that God's promised you? He's still waiting on that fulfillment of God's promise in your life. And here he was here. You see, for him, Isaac was that calling into being. You know, and it goes on to say here, against all hope, Abraham had hope. And it was lovely the other night when we went to this chill and grill night for Pastor Steve, who was there to share about hope, because it was part of the message this morning. You know, Abraham hoped when there was no hope. Are you hoping when there is no hope this morning? Or have you given up? Are you hoping this morning? What sort of hope is it? What's the basis of the hope that you have? It says here that Abraham, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. So it's almost like saying when all hope had gone, somewhere Abraham found true hope. True hope is an expectant hope. It's a hope that has assurance. It's a hope that fulfills our destiny in Christ. Are you hoping against hope? Are you hoping when all hope is gone this morning? Are you believing for God to do the miraculous in your life? When you've not seen it yet, when you've been asking Him for it, when it seems all hope is gone, are you holding on to those things? See, Abraham didn't sit back and wait for God to produce a miracle, Isaac. He got physical with Sarah. Isaac was a miracle, but it was not an immaculate conception. His faith was not to wait for God to create a child, but to mix the physical with the spiritual. And in confidence that comes from his step-by-step relationship with his God, he put trust in God's promise, and he and Sarah believe for a miraculous result. See, sometimes we just wait in the spiritual for it to happen. Sometimes we've got to be physical as well. Sometimes we've got to mix the two together. You see, God tells us something's going to happen, and unless there's some physical operating with the spiritual, it won't happen. Because we keep, Lord, do this, Lord, do this, Lord, do this, Lord, do this. And then God says, but when are you going to step out? When are you going to do something about it? When are you going to do this thing? You keep asking me, and it was the same for me when I was asking all those years ago about, I want to go on the mission field, I want to go somewhere. We've released people year in and year out, going off here or there and doing this, planting churches. I said, God, when is it our time? I said, you know the story. That guy got me by the scruff of the neck and pulled me up off the floor where I was lying down enjoying the Holy Spirit. And he says, God says, when are you going to be ready to go? You see, you've got to put your feet out and you've got to start walking. You've got to actually test it out and do it. And some, you'll know if it's not right. But when God says something in the spiritual, something, we have to put our faith in there and trusting in his grace, step out and see it happening. And so there was Abraham. He wasn't going to wait, you see, for Sarah to say, I'm pregnant. Can you imagine what he would have thought if Sarah announced one morning, I'm pregnant? You know, it wasn't going to be that way. He had to do something about it. And there was that come together that made this child. When his body was as good as dead, and when her womb was way past bearing children. This is a miracle. This is a miracle upon miracle. God can do those miracles upon miracles in your life and in my life and in the life of this church. Can we hold on to that? Can we believe that this morning? I've gone on far longer than I anticipated this morning. Just to finish off with these few words. Obedience is faith in action. Abraham was convinced that God would do what he promised to do. He didn't look at their circumstances. Circumstances, you know, will prevent you from doing what God wants you to do. Prevent you from praying, from reading the scriptures, moving on with God, doing those things God's told you to do. Circumstances will let it get in the way. It's too hot, as I said. It's too cold. You know, it's not right. They're not right. The right conditions aren't right. Sometimes, you know, I was saying that the other Wednesday night, and I heard of a lady, and actually knew a lady in the church in the UK, that wouldn't put on any clothes in the morning. Until she felt that God was telling her which color, which thing. I'm not saying this, but I'm saying that, you know, that we just need to, we need to actually move on with God, move on with Him, and sometimes we're asking so many spiritual things. God says, just get on and put that dress on. Yeah, don't worry about what color it is and whether it suits your hat or your shoes or whatever. I know, ladies, it's different for you than us men. Like, we'd do anything. But I know, but there you go. But you become obsessive about some things, and God says, like, just get on with it sometimes. Don't be so spiritual, put some physical into it, put some faith into it, start stepping out on it and just see what I can do. Abraham instead chose to look at what God had promised him, not at how old he was, not at the fact that his wife was past the age of childbearing. He chose to believe God's promise, and God will do those things that he said he would do. This kind of faith sees the work done, sees the impossible possible, and believes in the unbelievable. Can we have that faith this morning? Can we believe like Abraham believed? Can we hold on to those promises that God has promised you? I know for every one of us, it may be a different thing. And I know this, I can look around this building this morning and I can see people who I know God has promised you things and you've not seen it happen yet. But I really believe in my message this morning is, hold on, don't give up. Don't give up, because even if you think it's way past the time to start, there is a starting time, and I really believe God can do miraculous things. The Word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God says, follow. You know, being a Christian is not a hard thing, really. It's so simple. Jesus says, believe in me and follow me. Doesn't judge us. He just says, believe in me and follow me. If you believe in him and follow him this morning, I just know that there are mighty, mighty men and women of God in this building today. You know, they changed the world with just 12. What can we do with what we have here today? Don't give up on God's promises.